Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Darshawn McElroy. You're tuned in to wowpodcast.me. That's wowpodcast.me. And today we have a special guest. We have Donna Conrad. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, I see in the background you have House of the Moon. I want to talk to you about that book, but you also came here to talk about The Last Magdalene, which is coming out in April 9th.
April 9th, correct.
All right. So what was the inspiration behind your title, House of the Moon?
House of the Moon. Well, it's about my life growing up in Los Angeles in the 1960s. And my name's Donna Diane. And my mother named me Donna for Lady and Diane for the Goddess of the Moon. And she said I always would be ruled by the moon. And so that's where we came up with House of the Moon.
Got you. So let's talk about your latest book coming out, The Last Magdalene. What is that book about?
That book is about presenting the woman we know now as Mary Magdalene as a strong, courageous, passionate woman who stood side by side with the man we now know as Jesus, and letting her retell a story that we've heard for 2,000 years from basically a male perspective. And let's find out what it was like for the women who were involved in that time. What was their life like under Roman occupation? What was their life like when they were looking for a king in the line of David that could set the whole country free? And that's why I wrote it, so we could hear her voice.
So, I mean, well, what was the inspiration behind it? Like, what was that aha moment when you say, you know what, I need to come out with this particular type of book?
The aha moment actually came when a Magdalene scholar had read one of my previous books and said, you know, you should write a real gritty, historically based, true representation of this woman, Mary Magdalene. And being like most people in Western words, I said, wasn't she in the Bible? And she said, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about her. And then she took me on a tour in France of all of the sites that are sacred to the Magdalene. And the more she talked about it, the more scholars she introduced me to, the more it was like this story needs to be told. She was a phenomenal woman whose voice refuses to be silenced. So my aha moment was actually, I believe, speaking first with that Magdalene scholar, then speaking with scholars of the Torah, Judaic scholars, Christian scholars, and all of them were saying that this woman was phenomenal. And so that piqued my interest and then started the research.
So, since you're around most of these scholars, what have you been noticing about history? Like, I noticed a lot of people have different religions. What have you noticed about the religions?
About the Christian religion in history? Or?
Yes.
I don't get your, yeah. I feel that they took, they being mostly the patriarchy in the form of Rome, and make the world Rome. The Roman Empire was expanding at this time, and they were male dominated. And so I think they took a very inclusive, embracing teaching of this rabbi and made it into a religion of rules, of laws, of do not question. Do not ask what actually could have happened. You cannot question authority. And I feel that that is at the crux of Christianity. And I believe that is changing, which I'm glad. Because to me, going back and reading the teachings ascribed to Yeshua Bar Joseph, whom we know as Jesus, was about love. It was about acceptance. It was about inclusion. It was about allowing people to be who they are and basing everything on the concept of loving, caring, giving, sharing. And we see that still in some aspects of Christianity, and I hope to see that come back even more.
So So do you believe in most of the events that happen in the Bible, or do you think they're just good stories or good fables?
I think the majority of them happened. And in The Last Magdalene, I have most of the, quote, miracles. I think that Yeshua Bar Joseph was an incredibly charismatic, powerful leader who set out to be king of Judea in the line of David, and that's what he had claimed. And I think the majority of what happened in what we call the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which don't agree on much, even though they're considered synoptic, I believe that they're a record of what people observed at the time. Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So since you've been living life and surviving the 60s, what have you noticed about your life in general? Like, what are you on the right path? Like, what's your synopsis of your entire life?
Oh, my entire life. Let's see. In the 60s, as a teenager, I made really bad choices. I didn't have many role models, and I was very young. But having survived them, I've learned a lot. And I say all of the crazy things that happened, all of the destructive, violent things that happened to me as a teenager has made me the person I am. And I think that's why I am still inquisitive, still inclusive, still always seeking for more knowledge, more understanding, to expand my own horizon, to expand my mind, which came from the 60s. And I'm doing good. My life is still expanding. My life is still going.
I got you. So do you have any workshops that you put together for anyone?
Oh, I do. I teach at some writers' conferences, and I have workshops, everything from What Remains, which is teaching memoir, because everybody wants to stuff everything into a memoir. Right. And it's not what memoir is about, all the way to Writing Real, Writing Raw, which is how do you basically cut down to the bone and let the reader feel the both the exaltation and the terror that your characters feel. So just Writing Real, Writing Raw. And a new one based on all the historical research I did for The Last Magdalene is called History, Fact and Fiction, because it is historical fiction. And what can you change and what you should not change if you're writing historical fiction.
Right. This may sound silly, but I got to ask, I never really got the opportunity to really ask anybody. How do you find out if something is a fact when it comes down to history? Like, how do we do that?
How do we do that? It's difficult. And for me, it was verifying certain events from multiple sources. And so for the time in Judea was a backwater in the first century. So not many people wrote about it. The Romans certainly didn't write much about it. The Greeks wrote more about it, but the Alexandrians, the Egyptians, wrote quite a bit about Judea. And so it's kind of like triangulating. And you say, okay, this is this view, this is this view. Here somebody mentions this. And a good example is wine that was drunk. You have different perceptions on what the wine was and what regions it was grown in. So you look at multiple sources and you come up with where they intersect. And then you kind of go on faith. It's kind of today, how do you prove something? And with, quote, fake news out everywhere, what do you trust? So you have to take a more, you have to use your own sensibility to say, this seems like it could be real because this many people say it is, and it fits with the times, it fits with the people, and go with it.
So how long did it take you to put this particular book together?
It took about 18 months of research. It was a lot. I read the Torah several times. I read four different versions of the New Testament. Then I studied a lot of secondary sources such as Josephus and a lot of work on the Ptolemies, which were the Egyptians that were in power. They were the Greeks in Alexandria. So about 18 months for that, and then probably another 18 months to get the first draft. And then we start with the revisions.
Right.
So we're looking, it takes a bit of time to do something.
Did you have a team of people working with you, or this is something you're like in your home and you got sticky pads everywhere?
A little bit of both. I did work for the Hebraic scholar out of Haifa University, and she helped a lot. And I worked with a Christian scholar who is back in New York. And so when I would make a definite statement, whether it be about Hebraic culture or about Christian interpretations of things that happened, then it would be a back and forth with them. And then my editor, who is incredible and can spot a plot point a mile off. So yeah, there's a team. And then once the book is finished, you're working with another team of your publisher, the book designer, the cover designer, who did an incredible job using this photograph from a photographer in the UK. So that's an actual model set up. To look like this. House of the Moon over here, that was also a model, and that was my concept of having it be very dark with red and the Magdalene being very rich, sensual colors. And then you work with your PR team. So yeah, it takes a village to write a book. How about that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So digging throughout history, what's something that you found to be that you thought it was like, it was not true, and you was like, oh, this is a true thing that happened? Like, what's something that surprised you in doing your research?
There were several things, but the main thing, which is the crux of my book, is that throughout the Mediterranean basin, there was always a female aspect of divinity, or we would call it a goddess, that was paired with a god. And we have been told over and over and over that the Hebrews had one god, no gods. End of story. However, archaeologically, we have found small statues of female deities that have in their base little thumb holes rubbed into it as if they were held and rubbed over and over again. So I think the most surprising thing I found out is that there was a female aspect of divinity that was still being approached, still being worshipped in a way during Second Temple period, even though that's completely written out of history, both Hebraic and Christian history. But it is something that was pretty much proven archaeologically. And in my book, The Last Magdalene, I say, when babes are hard to birth, it's a priestess, a woman calls, not a priest. So I believe throughout time there were midwives and healers. They were women who were schooled in this. And to me, it pretty much proven that they would have approached a feminine aspect of divinity. So that was the most surprising to me.
So my last question would be, how does your legacy look for you?
My legacy? That I wrote books about women who had been silenced, who had been marginalized, who had been maligned, and given them voice that people have heard well beyond my lifetime.
Got you. So do you have any social media that you do anything on?
I do. I have a webpage, donnaconrad.com. Not too hard to remember. And if you sign up on that, then you stand a chance of winning a copy of either of my two books once The Last Magdalene's released. I'm also on Facebook, and there is a private group, The Magdalene Chronicles, because this is book one of a four-book series, and Instagram. And they're all Donna Conrad or Donna D. Conrad.
Absolutely.
And I look forward, I love to exchange with readers and other writers. And I think the larger our community is, the better for the world.
Gotcha. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have Donna Conrad. She's the author of House of the Moon and The Last Magdalene. Donna, I want to thank you so much for coming by. I really do appreciate you.
You are so welcome. It has been my pleasure.
No problem.